Okay, Ron, thanks so much for what you do and getting everything prepared for us to sit here and discuss the Word. And we're still in 1 Timothy 4. And, of course, 1 and 2 Timothy was written by basically the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, is what we're getting here as two letters that Paul wrote to young Timothy. And Timothy was not young now, because he had been with the ministry for a while, but he was younger than Paul and some of the rest of the ones that was involved. And so we might be able to talk about that just a little bit. But 1 Timothy 4 was written by Paul to Timothy, and he makes it quite clear in the first 4 or 5 verses of 1 Timothy 4, and I'll just go back for just a second and read 4:1. It said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times," and I believe this is even 2,000 years ago, it was already kind of the latter times. It said, "Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So, you know, anytime you get started with the teaching of this Word rightly divided, then there is some, and that this is kind of the way the group that God chose to become Israel. Some believed and some didn't believe, and maybe some believes for a while and kind of went backwards again, and I'm not going to say backsliding, but that's kind of the way it seems to have went. In the first 5 verses here in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, it gives you that understanding that this is going to be some that young Timothy is going to have to deal with, or younger Timothy. He may not be so young now, because he's been in the service for a while. You can go back to Acts and look at Acts to see and realize that. But we're going to pick up again tonight with verse 11. But from 1 Timothy 4:6 down to the end of chapter 4, which is 16 verses, you have the spirit of iniquity working there in the first 5 verses. And then you have basically the characteristics of that, and then you see the characteristics or the requirements for the antidote to the first 5 verses of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And the rest of the chapter is kind of the antidote to it. It's that that needs to be seen, understood, and said.
We've been booted off.
Booted off again.
Pop, you can pick it up.
Okay, we were talking about the rest of 1 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 5 or 6 through 16, and this is what we've been in for the last few studies, and to realize that there is something here that Paul is telling Timothy to get with it in order to overcome these that were falling away from the truth of this mysterion truth that Paul now has been brought into. And so we're going to start with verse 11 tonight and do two or three verses, I guess, because there's a good bit of scripture that Jack wanted us to look at through the workman's interlinear. So we'll just go ahead. And a couple of these verses are short, but still they carry a lot of they carry a lot of power. In verse 11 it says, well, we'll just read 10 because that's the one we did last week. It says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. And so there's a kind of a double claimer there, because it says especially of those that believe, and we read the note on the CB and where it talks about the all men there in that verse. And then tonight's verse, it says, now these things command and teach. So Paul is telling Timothy to remember this stuff and to be able to put it in a system for yourself as you have a testimony to people, especially on a one-to-one basis. And this is kind of the way we seem to have a greater approach to things, more so than a group deal. It's kind of on a one-to-one basis there. But we need to remember all these things. And, of course, this is study number 141. And Ron has already give you the date for this. And it says, these things command and teach. So, very short verse here, but let's look at my notes and then we'll get into Jack's stuff. It said, Paul is telling young Timothy what to do with studying his word, God's word, for Timothy's understanding, to take command of your abilities always with the teaching aspect of how to use God's word most effectively. And then there's several places that we need to look at. And we're going to start in 1 Timothy. But we need to go back to 1 Timothy 1:6. Well, let's just go ahead and do Jack's. Because the Koine Greek brought down to the English is basically here the same thing. Charge these things and teach. And that's how it come down out of the Koine Greek. And it says, in Jack's notes here, it says, the things which went before, Paul is saying charge, but not only to charge, but also to teach. To tell folks what to do is one thing, but to teach them how to do those things is something different. And that is a true statement. Of course, examples goes a very long way in teaching. The willingness to overcomes much inability also. These last seven epistles of Paul, beginning with Ephesians, are replete with injunctions concerning teaching and teachers. God seems to be very serious about teachers being taught to teach others. And I'll just add a little footnote to that. I've heard this for many years now. It says you cannot teach something that you do not know. You have to have an application for the wisdom that God has given you, you know, somewhat to do this. And a lot of us are on different levels of that. But still, you know, that is a very true statement also. So let's look at what Jack has brought out for us. Let's 1 Timothy 1:16, and it's on page 1801 if you have a companion Bible. And it says, howbeit, well, let's just go back to 15. I can't hardly do that without going back one. Anyway, this is a faithful saying, 15, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So Paul says, all this is for those that are sinners, or those who did not believe at some point, and he came here to save sinners, those that may have never been brought into any kind of belief. But it says, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, Paul says, that in me first Christ Jesus might shed forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to eternal life. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He made a prayer out of that in this particular aspect of it here in 1 Timothy. Now, let's go from there to Philippians. We haven't been in Philippians lately, so we're gonna go backwards a little bit tonight with our ones in this particular verse of scripture, because I did it at a different time than I did some of these others. We're gonna go back to Philippians 3, and we're gonna look at the 3:15 in Philippians, and that's on page 1778. It said, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. Brother, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So Paul says, you can use us for an example, because we have been there and come through that part of the understanding of God. So we'll go from there, in Philippians, and we're going to go back to 2 Timothy and look at 1:11. So we're skipping around a little bit on this verse tonight. 1:11. Of 2 Timothy. I'll get there in just a minute. And it's the last verse on the page, next to the last verse. And it says 2 Timothy 1:11, page 1809. And it says, talking about Paul, he says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. None, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and have been persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So that's 2 Timothy there that Jack wanted us to look at. And while we're here, let's turn the page. Okay, well, we've already turned the page to get that in 1810. Get on 1810. But while we're here, let's look at chapter 2 in verse 1 and 2 and 3. Thou therefore, my son, talking to Timothy again, and this is in the last book that he penned, I think, before his death. Now therefore, my son Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. Now, again here, Paul is warning Timothy to endure the hardness, because he said, if you believe that Christ is the Messiah, you're going to endure these problems with these people, because there's a lot of them that won't believe. And so, that's what he says when he doesn't have long to live here on this earth. And so he's telling Timothy to be aware of these things. Look at your surroundings. Look at your testimony. Look at what you stand for. And use good common sense with what you have learned. Because that knowledge that comes from wisdom gives you the understanding that others don't have. Okay. Having said that, let's go back to the book of John, and we're gonna read a little bit in two places in John, and we're gonna look first at John chapter 3. And then we're going to move to another place. It's John 3, very first part of chapter 3. Let me go back one more page. Okay. Three one says this. You know, everybody knows John 3:16, so we're not going to have to read much to get involved in this is for understanding, because I think most people that start out in a church setting learn John 3:16. But let's look at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So he was one that he was a Pharisee. There was two types here, Pharisee and Sadducee. And a Pharisee, he was one that believed in resurrection and and the things that went with that. And it said, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is referring to resurrection life. And so Nicodemus had questions. And so he was a learned man, but he still had questions. Because regardless of how much learning experience you get, you can't cover every subject. So,
didn't know much about this subject.
Yeah, so evidently, Nicodemus, even being a ruler of the Jews, or maybe being the high priest, I don't know who he was, but he was well versed in law probably, but maybe not so much in understanding God's will. And you say, well, God's will usually winds up being God's law, but well, you know, it changes somewhat from dispensation to dispensation because God keeps giving man understanding in those days. You know, and so he was dealing with the Jews in a big way. And then it seemed like it was both Jew and Gentile for a while. And of course, when you get toward the latter books that Paul wrote, it was, basically to all people. It was to everybody. And, so therefore it needs to be kind of meted out in the given in the time frame that, you know, it was supposed to be in. And so that was part of that. But now, John 3:16 is still, universal pretty much because the deal was that Christ was going to come, for all people. So he was going to give his life for all if they would believe the things that was going on in that day. This is what Nicodemus was wanting to know. Okay. So that was John 3. And now let's turn to John 12. Now we'll go over a few pages and pick up John 12. And we're going to look at, that's on page 1550 if you have a companion Bible. And we're going to look at 12:24-26. And it said, verily, verily, John 12:24-26. Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And I got a lot of information from our friend up in Indiana that sold corn seeds. So, it multiplies itself lots of times. Verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. But if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And so this is Christ talking about his business here on the earth, and he was only able to do that business in a great way for 3 years, and then they put him on the stake, and he shed his blood for mankind just the way that the Father and he had laid it out aeons before he ever created anything. It was known that man would need redemption even then. And you can't. And that's another example that you can't get anything by God. He knows if he chooses to know. And I think that there's times that he waits to see what the outcome will be. But he can certainly choose if he so desires. Because he's in charge, folks. He is in charge. If he knows how many hairs are on your head, then he's got you down pretty good. And, you know, this thing about not telling the truth, when you stop for a minute and think about that, and think about the power of the Godhead and what they did for mankind that he couldn't do for himself, and then you're going to run out and lie to somebody about something? That just blows my mind. It just doesn't make any sense at all. Because if they know that much about you and your stuff, as many people as they are in this whole world, you ain't got a chance. No way. So let's go to Revelations. We'll look at the last one here for this verse of Scripture. And I know we went back and forth, and I sometimes don't like to do that, but a lot of times when I get involved in doing my notes, it takes a little while in Jack's stuff to figure out what's, if you're going to go from the beginning of it to the end of it without going backwards some, then it takes a little time, and I get involved in a bunch of stuff at one time. I'm not very good at multitasking. I have to kind of back up a little bit. Sometimes, and the older I get, the more I got to back up a little bit. So
must be where I got it. I don't multitask well either.
And Revelation's 14, and we're gonna look at 2 through 4 anyway, and that's on page 1902. Yeah. 1902. And it says, "And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God." That's the 144,000 that I guess the Jehovah's Witnesses feel like they're a part of. And I don't see
They appear to all be males to me.
Yeah, they are. So what are they going to do with the women?
Good question.
They ain't going to make it, are they? Well, you see, when you place yourself in a place where you don't belong, then you got problems. And you really got problems. So we'll just say that and leave it there because it's gets into situations that people believe that have no real idea of what they're looking for, I guess. That's kind of the way it looks to me anyway. Okay, verse 12. And we'll go back and read it out of the King James Version. It says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but heed thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And so pretty good little line of things that need to be looked at here. And we'll go ahead and get involved with this. It says, and I'll read my notes. It says, "Let no one," talking about let no man, and man there is me, Deus, "let no man despise," and that despise there in the Strong's in the Greek is 2706. And I think I can kind of pronounce it to where you can kind of get a little idea. It's Cataphronio, yeah. And that's to think against or disdain. So he says, let no man think against or disdain thy youth. And Paul is not that young anymore. But he's certainly a lot younger than Paul and some of these others that are involved in this truth that God has revealed to them. Okay. It says, as of this writing, Timothy was in his late 30s. And this is what Jack had in his notes. So Jack, I mean, he's come to the conclusion that Paul was between 30 and 40 when this was written, that Timothy was between 30 and 40 when Paul wrote this to Timothy. So he had been through a good bit of study with Paul and heard and had carried these messages to other people. He was a kind of a carrier of Paul's mail carrier, so to speak. And he had learned a lot of things, but he learned a lot of things from his mother and his grandmother. But you can go back to Acts and find that it doesn't say very much about his dad. And so we've left out of this listing here in 12, he talks about in word, conversation, charity, that's 3, spirit, 4, faith, 5, and purity, 6. I'm going to add one more to it because Jack did. And that's pity. Or piety. And so that makes 7. And that makes sense to me because Paul doesn't use this till we get to the fifth chapter. He doesn't use that word, and it only appears one time. But Jack was a thorough believer that this piety that you get from this understanding, the wisdom that God has given you to understand, and if you understand it and use it, then that makes your testimony even greater. And I think it changes it somewhat, because everybody that God called to be part of His ministry, they had something special in that. And certainly when God endows you with some kind of gift or something, it becomes very important to your testimony. And I think we have to add the testimony there, because that word piety or piety is, it means holiness or godliness. Because you've been given something by God that maybe others don't have. Because everybody couldn't heal. Everybody couldn't do a lot of these things that other people could. And you see, so if God has chosen you to be a prophet or to be a spokesman or even a king of Israel, you know, he didn't have much to do with the first king, but he did with some of the others. And not many of them really passed muster. Because this was the old,
they were corrupt and evil.
The old Satan was doing his work there big time through them, because he knew that he wanted that position in place. So, you know, this is what we got out of that. It said, "Be thou an example." Or growth in all aspects of testimony to the believers and to these other things. And we're talking about the word, the conversation, the charity, the spirit, in faith and in purity, and we go all the way back, Jack does, to Solomon to get this. But let's read what Jack says. Let's go to 12, and read it out of the Koine Greek. It said, "Let no one despise your youth, but rather be a pattern of the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." And Jack says in his notes this: Timothy was at least in his late 30s. However, physical age has little to do with spiritual growth. Naturally, the elder in him is likely to have more growth in the Word. Such things as physical maturity are not the things which Timothy needs to be concerned with. He should become a pattern in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. He didn't add that one to this verse, probably the next verse. And so, that's what we have there. And then we have a pretty good little list of, there, but in 12 it says, in the more modern language, "Till I come, give heed to read to exhortation." Now that's verse 13. That's verse 13. Then it kind of runs together there. But let's look at the notes here in 12. And we're going to start with, I think I got these right. We're going to go back to Solomon 8:7. The little Song of Solomon, and that's on page 928, what we're looking for if you got a companion Bible. 928. Yeah, I'm close. Yeah, it's along, on the last chapter of the Song of Solomon. Now, the Song of Solomon is, I did that a while, several years ago, I guess. I can't remember now that's exactly what. But it was about a young girl that had seven brothers, and she was the only girl. And she was a good-looking woman. But she was dark-skinned. And they had a lot of vineyards, and so they put her in the vineyards to dress the vineyards and keep them where they could make the wine. And in so doing, she met a shepherd boy. And they fell in love. I mean, really fell in love with each other. So much so that they made a vow to one another that they would marry one another. And after they made that vow, well, along comes Solomon, and he was gathering up a, I guess you call it a harem of women that he was going to make queens from. And boy, she was good looking, and he wanted her in the worst kind of way. And he offered her the head job, and she turned him down. Now, that could get you killed in those days by a king who made these big promises to people that, and then they just flat turned him down. And he tried, and he tried, and he tried in these eight chapters to get her maybe to bed with him. I don't know. Whatever. But he was going to give her first place in his realm there. And she wouldn't accept. And she kept going back to this vow that she took with her young man. Would not sway from it. Regardless of what went on, and some things in her life did go on. But let me tell you, before I read the verse of scripture that we're going to read, when it all turned out and she turned him down, this Song of Solomon either got read or was put into a play. And on one of the three trips that these people went to Jerusalem to worship during the year, this thing was played out before them, because it was a testimony to a vow that was made that was not going to be broken, regardless of what had been offered there. And so this was a teaching tool that God had worked through these people that were there in Jerusalem that may have not have ever would have heard this story. It may have never been told to them, but it was a pretty good thing that they paid attention or tried to pay attention to it, because it became a teaching tool that God used. And so here we go. Let me find where I'm at. Solomon 8, verse 7. Well, let's start at 5. It said, "Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. For if a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be condemned. We have a little sister, and she hath no breast. What shall we do for our sister in the day that she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a door, we will enclose her within the boards of cedar. I am a wall, and my breasts are like towers. There was I in his eyes, and as that one found favor. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Harmon, but he let out the vineyard unto keepers. Everyone for the fruits thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. My vineyard, she said, and this is the young lady. My vineyard, which is mine, is before me. Thou, Solomon, must have 1,000, and those that keep the fruit thereof, 200. These that dwelleth in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice, cause me to hear it. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like a roe unto a young hart upon the mountain of spices. So she did not, would not believe anything that Solomon offered to her, although he had her life in his hands as a balance. She would not accept it, and he tried everything in the world that he could. If you don't have much time sometime and just want to read a good story, read the Song of Solomon. I've given you now the basics of it, so you can understand it. It's easy to understand. But buddy, is it tough to realize that somebody'd be put into a situation like that? But that was a good teaching too. How much time we got left?
It's 9:25.
Well, we'll go with a few more of these verses, and then we'll pick up with these the next time. But I wanted to read you that one, so you, because it was a basic part of the story. The ending is certainly something that needed to be understood, because she did not fall into the temptation of Solomon. He come with his big old wagon where he was hauling these women back to his place of residence. She didn't ride. She wasn't interested in going that direction with him. Okay, John 13. We're going to look at 34, 35. Well, we look at 33, 34, and 35. Little children, this is on page 1554 if you have a companion Bible. Little children, yet a little while, I am with you. You shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, and if you have love one to another. it shows. I'll add that to it. It truly shows. And Peter, about the only thing Peter heard in this recitation here was, Lord, whither thou goest, whither goest thou? Because Peter didn't want to be without Christ. But he had been told what was going to happen to Christ, and he didn't, it went in one ear and out the other. He didn't really, you know, a lot of times people hear the truth, but they don't want to accept it. But that's the way the prophets got killed, or a lot of them. There were, you know, the people heard the prophets and didn't want to hear what the prophets said.
Kill the messenger.
Yeah, so they killed the messenger. That was the easiest thing to do. Okay. Now, let's go to one or two more. Let's go to Galatians and Corinthians, and we'll call it a day. Galatians 1:13. Galatians. Well, I got that one out of line a little bit, I guess. Yeah. I got close. Galatians. Okay, let's go back to 10 of 1 Galatians. That's on page 1749. It says, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brother," or you could say a guarantee there, I think, "that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals, in mine own nation, being more exceedingly jealous of the transition of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." So what he got it straight from, the power comes straight on. He had all the power that God could give him while he was in this body.
Amen.
Okay. Well, let's just stop it there, and we'll pick up and do these next time again. But there's quite a good number of them, and it would take a pretty good little few minutes to get into the rest of them. We'll just pick up with that, and so we'll start with the notes in 12 and then go on with it next time. Thank you for being with me this hour, and I hope that we said something that might give you a little tinge to look somewhere and to understand, because the Word of God is a great thing, and you cannot spend any better time in your life. I want to leave with you a little note with you, and I go by every time I go to town. There's a place there where you can go in and exercise in West Union, South Carolina. And that parking lot is generally full of vehicles. And they go in there, and I guess sometimes they work an hour or 2 hours on their body. What if all these people worked an hour or 2 hours in God's Word, studying to understand and to know what God's Word has for them? What kind of difference would that make in their life? And I'm not down in exercising, because Lord knows I need to exercise as much as anybody. But yet, the fact is, if I have extra time, I'm going to sit down and get in God's Word. I promised him that. Going down the road in an old Falcon one day, I said, "Lord, take care of me, because I'm going to need it. I don't know much of any of your love, but if you'll show it to me, I'll try to send it on down the road." And so that's what I've been doing since 1971. And I keep telling people, I said, "Well, take a good look at me, because I guess I'm about the oldest McCurry you've ever seen or heard of." Because our family generally meets their end about 75 or 76, and here I am going on 84. So God's not done with me yet. He might be tonight, tomorrow, the next day, or the next year, or whenever. I don't know. But that don't bother me. And it shouldn't bother me, because I know what I'm hooked to. I am hooked to the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And as long as I stay buckled up to that faith, it's like riding one of these things that's hooked from a tree across the mountaintop to the other mountain. I'll be at the other end when I'm done. And because my faith is not like the Lord's faith. His faith, he promised God a vow, and that he took care of it all. I was born in sin, but I'm doing my best to take care of it today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your understanding. And I hope to see y'all in a week or two. God bless. And we'll let you go home and lay down.